Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Josh Davis will examine the latest headlines that show the stage is being set for the One World System. Hurricanes threaten the seaside cities. Tornadoes swirl between coasts. There's almost always a storm of some kind coming or going in the late spring and summer. Summer is eternally the hardest time of the year for all ministries. To weather these storms, media ministries like Southwest Radio depend entirely on your gifts. Every day for 92 years, we've boldly reached out to the world with gospel clarity, no matter how fast or in which direction the globe and its cultures are spinning. We all need a moral compass, now more than ever. Help us keep pointing people in the right direction, toward God's Word and His promises for those who believe on Him. Call today to become a monthly partner if you haven't already. 1-800-652-1144 or go to swrc.com. Friends, we need to hear from you today. swrc.com or 1-800-652-1144. Thank you. Thank you for your support and prayers. Pieces of the prophetic puzzle continue to fall into place. The world moves closer to a digital biometric database of all people, and the U.S. is playing a key role in those efforts. Recent developments revealing growing excitement for a third temple in Jerusalem, acts of apostasy within the church, and blasphemy outside the church fulfill Bible prophecy. Let's join Josh Davis as he dives into these headlines from the end times on today's Watchmen on the Wall episode.
Greetings, fellow Watchmen on the Wall. We're back with another Friday Headlines from the End Times. And on today's episode, we're going to see stories like how the stage is being set for a one-world government, how the preparations are being made for the building of a third temple in Jerusalem. We also see signs of growing apostasy within the church and blasphemous acts from outside the church that Bible prophecy tells us will be a hallmark of the last days. As we begin our headlines from the end times today, we see how the world is continuing to move step by step by step towards an international database of all the world's citizens. Why is this so important? It's because it makes a one world government that much easier during the end times, according to the biblical end times scenario. On July the 31st, the U.S. and Ecuador finalized a bilateral agreement that was aimed at heightening their cooperation. That's a globalist buzzword right there. Cooperation against transnational organized crime. And get this, the report says irregular migration flows. At first, I'm like, what are they talking about? Birds going back and forth migrating? No, they're talking about illegal immigration, putting a stop to illegal immigration. That's why they are cooperating internationally, sharing information. Well, what kind of information? I'm going to detail it for you as we continue sharing this headline from the end time. And so the U.S. and Ecuador established formal procedures for the exchange of biometric and related biographic information between the two nations. That's right. Your biometric data, your biographic information could be sent to the nation of Ecuador. And that's not the only nation we're going to mention who's involved in this. So under this new framework, Ecuador would share biometric identifiers like fingerprints, the iris scan of people's eyes, facial recognition data of individuals who've been flagged as potential security risks. And of course, they're targeting criminals. They're targeting illegal immigration. And they're trying to put a stop to these kinds of things with the branding of safety and security, safety and security. And who's leading that for the United States? It's the Department of Homeland Security. They're the ones overseeing this international project, this sharing of information between countries, trying to identify criminals and illegal immigration and putting a stop to those kinds of things. But I have to stop and ask the question, what freedoms are we as United States citizens giving over, giving up, in the name of safety and security at our borders? Who could be labeled a potential security risk? Could this be morphed or changed under future leadership to target Christians, people who believe the scriptures? I'm not saying it will be. I'm just saying, could it be? Would the door be open for these kinds of things? And so this data will be submitted to the Department of Homeland Security. They are bringing online a new system called the Homeland Advanced Recognition Technology System that would enable cross-referencing against U.S. records to identify individuals of concern. Individuals of concern. Again, these terms, we need to understand exactly what is and who is an individual of concern. This pact also closely follows on the heels of a similar agreement that was made one day before between the U.S. and the country of Chile. So that earlier pact that came on July 30th, the other one was July 31st, enabled Chile to send fingerprints, the iris scans of people's eyes, and other biometric data to the DHS to block potentially dangerous individuals from traveling to the U.S. By mid-2025, the DHS had moved rapidly to secure these two partnerships as part of a broader regional strategy, as they want to stop the flow of illegal immigration through some of the countries in South America, especially where drug trades are concerned, and they're moving in South America strongly to build these coalitions with nations, sharing biometric information about people who could be potentially dangerous. But just look at what's being done in the interest in safety and security. I think that eventually we're going to have a global database of every person. As soon as you reach a certain age, you're going to have to register with this system. And it could be that they have a child policy. And then when you reach a certain age, you register as an adult. And maybe every few years, like a driver's license, you have to re-register, or like a passport kind of a system. That's just my opinion. I think that's the steps that we're taking as we're watching what's happening around the world. Now, we also want to share information about Third Temple anticipation that is escalating in Israel. Recently, there seems to be some rogue players not authorized by the government who installed road signs that look official, pointing people toward Jerusalem to see the house of the Lord. It doesn't seem to be deemed and authorized by the government, but they certainly look official, and pictures of these road signs popped up all over social media as some of these were installed, at least temporarily, pointing people towards Jerusalem and the house of the Lord. Now, these are not government sanctioned, but it does show you the hunger, the desire for people to see the temple being built. And we know that the scripture speaks about an end times temple, and of course, the Antichrist declaring himself as God in the temple of God. And we see these things being a part of the end times biblical scenario. Well, if the Antichrist is standing in the temple, guess what? A temple has to exist, and it doesn't at this point. But there is a fresh hunger among Jewish people to return to worship on the Temple Mount and to build the temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And while a lot of people look at the Western Wall as the most sacred site for Jewish people, that's just the closest place that they can get to, because the status quo agreement between Israel and the Jordanians and others who are helping to govern the Temple Mount, that place of worship is reserved for Muslims. And so Jewish people, according to the status quo agreement, are not supposed to pray or worship or sing praises to God on top of the Temple Mount. Although, as I'm going to share with you more details momentarily, those kinds of things have been challenged recently as people have gone against this status quo agreement and have openly prayed on top of the Temple Mount. And so according to reports, theoretical plans for construction have been made. The equipment is ready. The priests, the Levites are being trained and acquiring the ashes of these red heifers. We know about the red heifers that have been in Shiloh, Israel, and all those different kinds of stories. These kinds of things are showing you how the coalition of all of these steps that are needed and necessary, and it seems like they're just waiting for the signal. It's time to start. It's time to go forward. There are murals, there are paintings on Jerusalem walls wishing for the soon coming of the temple, pictures appearing on social media of people who are hungry to worship in the house of the Lord, to rebuild the temple. And even recently, as Jewish people look back at the destruction of the temple on the 9th of Av in 586 BC and then again in 70 AD, many people, according to reports, are looking forward to the building of the third temple. Friends, we're living in a day when we understand what Bible prophecy says, and we're seeing some of these things unfold very dramatically before our very eyes. The U.S. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, visited the Western Wall on Tisha B'Av, that special holiday, the 9th of Av, and originally he was scheduled to go in June. But that 12-day war between Israel and Iran delayed Speaker Johnson's trip to Israel, and so instead he was there in early August and prayed at the Western Wall in Jerusalem on Tisha B'Av, which is a Jewish day of mourning over the destruction of the temple. And in his public comments that he made, Speaker Johnson remarked, quote, "We are grateful for the privilege of being here in Israel today on the day we recognize the destruction of the temple twice in history." Speaker Johnson went on to add, quote, "Our prayer is that America will always stand with Israel and for the preservation and peace of Jerusalem," end quote. And he made that prayer at the Western Wall in Jerusalem, Israel. Now, could this delayed schedule also been part of God's providence in setting the stage for what is to come? That's just something to think about, something to ponder. Also, on that very same day, the Israeli National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, led in prayer atop the Temple Mount, breaking this status quo that I've described to you and this agreement, and he drew sharp rebukes from the Palestinian Authority, the Jordanians, the Saudi Arabians, according to multiple sources. Now, it's estimated that there was a record-breaking crowd of over 3,500 Jewish people who visited that site on this special day of fasting and mourning the loss of the temples. Friends, you're listening to Headlines from the End Times on today's Watchmen on the Wall. I'm Josh Davis, staff evangelist with Southwest Radio Ministries. Thank you so much for joining me. This is a weekly feature for Watchmen on the Wall, but also on our Prophecy in the News television show. And every single issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine includes special headlines from the end times. And so we want you to check that out. And please, if you haven't already, download our mobile app. Open your app store and type in these four letters, SWRC. Again, just open your app store on your smartphone or mobile device and type in these four letters, SWRC. You can download that. You'll get Watchmen on the Wall every time it's uploaded. The Prophecy in the News television show, you can watch it right there anytime, anywhere in the world with the SWRC mobile app. Check that out today, dear friends. Let's continue with some more important stories. We understand that Spurgeon's College in London, a leading Baptist theological institution that was founded by Charles Spurgeon himself back in 1856, recently announced its immediate closure. 169 years of continuous operation this school had, and they were forced to close quickly and forced to close suddenly. It was shocking to many people who were familiar with the school and familiar with Charles Spurgeon, who has been referred to as the Prince of Preachers. But the school cited financial insolvency as a sudden loss of critical funding support for the reason they had to close. The Board of Trustees was heartbroken as they made that announcement, and they said, quote, "with deep sadness and great regret." And that closed the chapter on one of the United Kingdom's most influential evangelical training centers that's been long recognized for preparing men and women for pastoral, academic, and missional leadership, according to multiple reports. Now, as I scoured the internet looking for some opinion pieces from people in the know, and of course, I've given you some guidelines about how you go about that kind of thing. You don't just take so-and-so's word for it just because they have an official-looking internet website or whatever it may be. No, you have to use due diligence. But from multiple people's opinions, from what I could find, that the school still remained and was still considered theologically conservative, but they did begin to drift away from its founder's uncompromising stand on God's truth. And as of this recording, the reason behind the sudden removal of funding that caused the immediate closing of this college is unclear. Now let's stay in the UK with a more obvious example of growing apostasy within the church, or could I say, quote unquote, church. The church leaders are lamenting a grievous appointment of an openly gay Archbishop of Wales. According to multiple reports, Anglican leaders have strongly criticized the appointment of a lesbian in civil partnership as the new Archbishop of Wales. Cherry Van has been in a civil partnership with Wendy Diamond since 2015, and Van was recently elected as the 15th Archbishop of Wales by a two-thirds majority in the Electoral College at the end of July. Anglican leaders around the world are denouncing this decision. Let me give you one such example that came from the Anglican Church of Nigeria. It said it condemns, unequivocally rejects, and will not recognize the election of the Right Reverend Cherry Van as Archbishop of Wales, end quote. The Nigerian Archbishop himself called Van's election, quote, a signal that some sections of the global Anglican world have resolved to abandon the truth of God's word by sacrificing the authority of the scripture for a postmodern agenda that has no divine backing. He went on to say, what is at stake in the election of Bishop Van as Archbishop of Wales are the salvation of the souls of men, biblical ethics, identity of Anglicans globally, impairment of our credibility to do missions and evangelism, and salvaging the very soul of Anglican orthodoxy. He went on to say, we have come to the point where a clarion call must be sounded. Who is on the Lord's side? That's from the Archbishop of the Nigerian Anglican Church. He went on to say, quote, faithful church believers must reject heretics and apostates from our midst, strive to redeem our holy scriptures, defend our historic creeds, uphold our articles of faith and catechism, and expel the wolves amongst our sheep. Therefore, as a matter of urgency, the Church of Nigeria believes at this moment calls for prayer for the Church of Wales, hoping that the Church of England will not follow her steps, he said. He went on to finish, quote, we should hold them in our prayers with a clear message that hope lies only in true repentance and godliness. Otherwise, this church will lose complete relevance in the divine scheme for the people of Wales, and the leaders in compromise shall not be spared in the time of judgment. Again, this comes from the leader, the Archbishop of the church in Nigeria, an Anglican congregation. Now, speaking of Nigeria and what is happening in Africa, it's something we need to certainly be praying about, dear Christian friends. A recent report reveals that Islamic extremists have killed over 22,000 people in Africa over the past 12 months. These numbers sometimes stagger us, but just stop and think about that. 22,000 people killed at the hands of these Islamic extremists in Africa alone. Nigeria, its neighboring nations, have witnessed nearly one half of those fatalities, as some of the worst attacks are occurring in that region of Africa. And the majority of those killed by these Islamic extremists are Christians. So let's be praying for our Christian brothers and sisters who are suffering persecution, especially those that are targeted by Islamic extremists in Africa. We don't just see these things happening within the church. We see reports of things happening outside of the church that we need to be more aware of, friend. And we're continuing with our headlines from the End Times on this Friday edition of Watchmen on the Wall, brought to you by Southwest Radio Ministries. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. He goes on in the next few verses to explain exactly why that is, and begins by saying, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This selfish love, this desire to do whatever I want to do, is propelling the world away from God and into greater sinfulness and brokenness. Down in verses 12 to 14 of the same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul explains, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Our dear brothers and sisters in Nigeria are experiencing that in other countries in Africa, and not just in Africa, but around the world. And the next verse goes on to tell us, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They are themselves deceived, and they are deceiving other people inside the church, outside the church. And we need to be aware that this is going to happen, and we see it happening in our day. Now, Paul doesn't leave us there in the negative and saying, well, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What are we going to do? Just throw up our hands, wait for the rapture? No. He tells Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. He says, you've got a job to do, Timothy. You've got to continue going in God's word, standing upon it, the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so we need to be doing that in these days. And one of the hallmarks of these perilous times found in verse 2 is blasphemy. And by now, I'm sure you've heard about the openly blasphemous and blatantly demonic portrayal of Jesus at the Hollywood Bowl's presentation of Jesus Christ Superstar. There was a bisexual black actress who played the part of Jesus, while an openly gay singer named Adam Lambert played Judas Iscariot. Making a mockery of God and Christianity is touted as edgy, as just being open-minded by the progressives. However, they are treading on some very dangerous spiritual ground by openly blaspheming the gospel message and by distorting God's truth, deceiving and being deceived, as the verse I just read to you says. They're exchanging the truth of God for a lie, and in so doing, they're dooming themselves, just like Romans 1 says. Now listen to what God says about people who continue in this kind of sinful behavior, according to Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they celebrate those who are doing the opposite of what God's word says. And does not that mark our generation today? Well, it's not just happening in America. There was a recent pride parade in Belfast, Northern Ireland, that included a man dressed like Jesus, wearing a crown of thorns, giving out high fives to people standing on the sidewalks as he marched in this pride parade. Another open mockery of Jesus by the progressives. But why do they constantly target Jesus? Why do they constantly target Christianity? Why don't they ever mock Muhammad or the symbols of Islam? The homosexual acts are punishable by death in Iran and some of the other Muslim-majority nations. They would put these people to death for doing what they're doing in Northern Ireland, in the United States of America. Now, I submit to you the reason that they constantly attack Christianity is because of two primary reasons. Number one, this blasphemy is demonically inspired. Satan hates the truth. And Satan is going to do everything he can to attack the truth, to diminish the truth, to belittle the truth, to poke fun at what is really real, at what is really true. So why would demons target Islam if it's not really true to begin with? I think that's a telltale sign in and of itself. That's the first point. The second point I want to make is that these individuals have experienced conviction over their sin at some point in their lives. I'm convinced of that. And the reason that they push against Christianity, the reason they push against Jesus in these kinds of ways is that deep down, they have felt in their life that what I'm doing is not right. They're trying to suppress that. They're trying to hide that. They're trying to get over that any way that they can. But deep down, they realize that they're sinning, and yet they willfully do it anyway. And you know what? That breaks my heart, because they are just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve chose to go their own way instead of following what God knows and said is the best way. It's just like you read in the book of Genesis. You get over into chapter 4, around verse 23 and 24, you see a descendant of Adam and Eve's son, Cain. His name is Lamech. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 4, 23 and 24, and Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. You see, the point that I'm making is this, dear friends. Adam and Eve were ashamed of their sin, and they turned to God. Cain, their son, killed Abel, his brother. He was burdened under the consequences of sin, but there's no mark in the scripture that says that he was ever broken over his sin, that he ever repented of it, that he ever expressed remorse or regret over killing his brother Abel. There's no mention of that, only the fact that the consequences were so severe. In a later generation, we see a further sliding away from God, away from his truth, as Lamech is not like his great-great-great-grandfather Cain. Now Lamech is celebrating the fact that he has killed someone and that he is so prideful and arrogant in his response with a high-fisted wave at God saying that I am the one. And you see exactly what's happening in our generations. This is the sad place where we find ourselves today, dear friends. Well, this is Headlines from the End Times, and I want to ask you to join us in New Prague, Minnesota this weekend. Today, tomorrow, it's Prophecy in the News Live, and I'll share a special Headlines from the End Times update live in New Prague, Minnesota. We want you to come and join us. It's all day today, all day tomorrow, New Prague, Minnesota at Hillspring Church. More information about this special conference is available at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or just give us a call today, 1-800-652-1144. Again, the number is 1-800-652-1144.
Stay up to date with the latest headlines with our Prophecy in the News magazine and weekly television program. Subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine for the latest insight and analysis of the world around us. And then tune in to the Prophecy in the News television program to stay informed, be encouraged, and deepen your understanding of God's Word. Prophecy in the News magazine and television program. Learn more by visiting our website, swrc.com. I want to send a special thank you to everyone who has been giving a gift this week. We need to hear from you right now, my friend. Your support allows us to produce these programs and publications. You can give today by calling 1-800-652-1144 or go to our website, swrc.com. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit our website, swrc.com.